Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Okay, thank you everyone for tuning into Global from Asia episode 4. I'm here with Steve Barnes from Hong Kong Visa Center. Thank you for coming, Steve.
Mike, it's my pleasure entirely.
Okay, great. So let's just jump right in. Maybe you could just introduce yourself and your company to our listeners today.
Stephen Barnes, been in Hong Kong for 27 years. Started an immigration practice in Hong Kong 20 years ago, and I've been practicing ever since.
Okay, great. Yeah, I met you actually at a seminar where you were sharing your knowledge, and appreciate you being on a podcast for everybody today. It's a hot topic of visas and immigration for expats here in Hong Kong. So I think a lot of our listeners are sometimes in Asia, or they're coming through Hong Kong doing their either startup or their entrepreneurial endeavors as a small business or medium-sized business. What do you kind of advise them for immigration or visas in Asia or Hong Kong specifically?
Well, understanding that my expertise is Hong Kong, I'm going to limit my comments to Hong Kong as an immigration opportunity for anybody that wants to establish or join in a business here. But effectively, if you're a foreign national and you want to reside in Hong Kong to promote and pursue your own business activities, you need to make an application for an investment visa, which is an employment visa predicated on you undertaking an act of investment into Hong Kong. And the approvability test to get that visa is to show that you're in a position to make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong. Now, in many ways, that's like asking how long is a piece of string, right? But there are certain themes that run writ large throughout every investment visa application that goes on to get approved. And the themes are you need to show through your planning and through your through the early months of your operations that you're in a position to create local employment opportunities. Don't need any local jobs from day one. But if you have a business plan that you put into the immigration department to support an investment visa application and there's no opportunities for local employment, then you're going to struggle to get approved. Okay. So the second thing that the immigration department are looking for are suitable business premises. And these are premises that vie with where you are in the implementation at any point in time of your plan. So you can kick off with a mere virtual office, which you can buy relatively cheaply, but the expectation is that in due course, sooner if not later, once your business plan has arrived at the point where you're hiring your first employee, that first employee will have somewhere sensible to report to work to each day, because you can't expect this person to come and fulfill their employment duties for you from your kitchen table or your spare bedroom. So no matter how sort of much sense it makes economically for not to have any kind of bricks and mortar type place for your employees to work, you need to anticipate that this is going to be a prerequisite for the visa approval in due course.
Okay.
The third leg of the approvability stool is actually divided into two parts. The first is cash and the second is resources. Cash, million-dollar question, everybody asks me is, literally, how much cash do you need? It all depends on the circumstances. In my experience, if you have less than 500,000
Hong Kong dollars,
you may find that your application could be compromised or deemed to be weak, especially if other aspects of your plan are a little bit marginal. But if you've got $500,000 or more, it's reasonable to assume that you can go on to expect the consideration of the Immigration Department to positively approve rather than negatively think you haven't got enough cash. So $500,000 kind of does it. But I've seen applications approved with less cash as well. So it's not hard and fast. The trick is to understand that you shouldn't be really thinking that the Immigration Department are going to buy into your overall startup lean type activities, which is fine, without at least having some cash. Because as you know, lean doesn't mean cashless. Lean means having the money and spending the right kind of money. So that's an important consideration. The maxim, the more you have, the easier it is to persuade the Immigration Department that you've got the right level of funding, so that's always good. So that deals with cash, and then the other element is resources. Now, resources are usually all the kinds of things that are driving you to make the decision to pursue the investment in Hong Kong in the first place. So if you've got a bit of code that you've already developed and you want to use new investment in Hong Kong to be able to build on that, the fact that you've got a basic version of your product written already is a resource for the purposes of your application. If you come into Hong Kong and you're, say, in general trading and you've got some kind of clientele already in place, that's all good. Any other resources that allow the Immigration Department to objectively conclude that your business, if you use those resources together with the cash that you've got, will eventually go on to result in a solidly entrenched commercial enterprise. That's the challenge. Okay.
Got it. Thank you so much, Steve. So I just like to recap. He mentioned 3 points, that you're going to employ local Hong Kong residents or Hong Kong people in your business.
Anybody in Hong Kong who's lawfully employable without further permissions of the Immigration Department.
Lawfully employable.
Those people count as local persons for the purposes of local employment.
Okay, got it. That doesn't have to be immediate, but you have to have a convincible, clear plan that you will do that. And I mean, what's the time from year 1 year?
Depends what your plan is, right?
Okay.
You know, and I always say to clients, don't think about structuring your business around the immigration application. Think about structuring your business and ask yourself, actually, does this business work for immigration purposes? And you'll find that there's quite a close correlation between businesses that you would expect to be successful and those businesses which the immigration department approve.
Got it. Okay. And then the second point is the office for when you're employing the workers, that is a suitable location or suitable environment for them to work in.
That's correct, yes.
And the third is the cash and the resources. I think I'd just like to kind of semi-convert to dollars when we talk. So he's saying, of course, it's always hard. I know everybody asks him how much money.
Say 75,000, 80,000.
75,000 to 80,000 US dollars
gets you in the hunt.
Into a Hong Kong business bank account.
Well, the interesting thing there is that you don't actually need to have all the money in the Hong Kong business bank account. You can have enough money in the Hong Kong business bank account to finance the first 6 months of cash flow. And the rest of the funds you could have standing in your own personal account anywhere in the world. So that you can show that you've got the money ready for deployment into the business. And you need to have owned those funds, by the way, beneficially for at least 2 years immediately before you make the application. So the investment could call for proof that you're not just borrowing money and shuffling it back and forth just for the purposes of the visa application. They know all the tricks. They've done it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the three main points. I kind of a little bit of follow-up on the resources. So code, I mean, your degree or, like, education?
Yep. Your CV itself is also a resource. So your background, what you're bringing to the party, have you got a track record in business in the past? Have you been successful in another country doing these types of businesses? All of that stuff is factored into the mix.
Okay. So then I think some people use the trick of an employment visa, even though maybe they're an entrepreneur or a small business. I know you don't, that's more gray or...
This is an old chestnut. People think that you can somehow separate ownership from your business vehicle and become an independent third-party arm's-length employee. You can't. So the Immigration Department, during the currency of an application, if it's a new business situation, new company situation, if it's an existing company situation, they're going to look to see who the owners and the directors of the shareholders are. And once they can see that you're putting yourself forward as an employee, but you actually own the company, you're a director of the irrespective of how you dress it up, they're going to apply the investment visa approvability test to you. That's the harder test of substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong, rather than the lesser test, which is, do you personally possess special skills, knowledge, and experience of value to are not really available in Hong Kong? So your personal skills in the context of the business that you own shares in will be seen merely as a resource, and they'll apply an investment visa approvability test for you to you. But if you're making the application for an employment visa and you don't have an interest in the business, then the Immigration Department will just apply special skills, knowledge, and experience to you, and it won't look so much to the ability of the business to make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong.
Got it. So there's a third option I've heard of, student visa?
Well, student visa will get you boots on the ground in Hong Kong, but you're not lawfully employable and you can't join in the business if you're on a student visa for Hong Kong. You can only study and that's it.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that. So we talked about, just to kind of recap, I think there's three or even four. I mean, technically there's tourist visa, as a, depending on your passport. I'm a U.S. passport holder. I have a 90-day stay.
Yeah.
So, and I've actually never legally worked in Hong Kong. I'm an offshore Hong Kong company.
Right.
So I sometimes visit Hong Kong. I sometimes work in a co-working space. I go to some meetings.
Yeah.
I'm okay, right?
Yeah. Well, you see, it's all about residing. So if you, as I know, you live in China, but if you spend most of your time in Hong Kong in pursuit of a business that you've established here, and your status is visitor, if your intention to reside is crystallized, then the visitor visa isn't actually suitable immigration status for you, because you're effectively directing and controlling the affairs of your company, and the visitor visa doesn't allow you to do that. The visitor visa anticipates they're going to come, you're going to have an interaction with Hong Kong as a regular visitor, and then you're going to depart again. So if you end up spending a great deal of time here on visitor visa status, when in reality your intention to reside is crystallized, then you need to adjust your status from visitor through to business investment if you're running your own company.
I understand. So, yeah, I mean, this is maybe it's actually still complicated for me. So we talked about, I think the correct way as an entrepreneur and you want to reside in Hong Kong is an investment visa.
Absolutely. You need to incorporate a company, get a business registration certificate. You need to have a really good business plan, which doesn't actually need to be reflected in a formal document, because in many ways, the Immigration Department no more wants to read a 6-to-8 business plan than you might otherwise want to write one. So if you're self-funding your business, there's no formal need to have a business plan, though it might be good practice to do so to crystallize your thoughts. The Immigration Department will look at your story as a whole. They'll need to see that you've got all the resources that we've just discussed. They'll need to be satisfied that there's no security objection to you being granted permission to reside in Hong Kong to implement your business plan. And if you've got a good story and you can carry the argument and you can tick all the boxes and you've got the right level of money, and there's, as I say, no security reasons for you not being granted the permission that you're looking for, there's no reason to expect the Immigration Department wouldn't give you what you need.
Okay. And so time frame normally?
6 to 8 months.
Four to six months.
If you're not yet resident in Hong Kong, you live somewhere else like you do, and you want to make an application, it's going to take 4 to 6 months. If you're presently resident in Hong Kong, and perhaps you're working for another employer, and you want to stop working for that employer and start up for yourself, you still have to pass the investment visa approvability test. But as an existing resident, that application is dealt with on a different section of the Immigration Department. They apply the same criteria, but it's a different team that handles the work. And because you're an existing resident, that team will finalise your application in 6 to 8 weeks, not 4 to 6 months.
Okay, got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Thanks so much, Steve. So yeah, just to kind of recap it, if you're working for a company in Hong Kong and you're a resident of Hong Kong and you want to start your own business, apply an investment visa. It's a little bit shorter, a month to a month and a half. Still have to have the money in your control,
yeah,
either in a company account or your personal accounts.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it from offshore, or like me in China or others in Southeast Asia or in the West.
Or as a visitor. Yeah.
Or as a visitor.
Yeah.
So then if I came on a 90-day stay,
yeah,
and I'm staying in a hotel.
Yeah, you can apply to adjust your status while you're here. But the Immigration Department don't allow the fact of you having a pending investment visa application to somehow advantage you in relation to your 90-day limit of stay. You have to leave before the 90 days are up, and then make a re-entry at some stage in the future if you want to come back as a visitor before the Immigration Department approved your investment visa application.
Got it. Yeah, it's been really, really valuable information, Steve. So I like to always ask on these talks, one kind of tip for a newbie listener, maybe I think a lot maybe don't have the 500,000 Hong Kong,
yeah,
but they are an educated hustler, entrepreneur. What kind of information would you give them?
Well, bear in mind that the visa class by definition calls for an active investment. So the fact that you may be a dyed-in-the-wool entrepreneur and you can, you know, duck and dive and weave and bob with the best of them, that's all well and good. But you've got to understand that the Immigration Department, as part of the Security Bureau, have a mandate to make sure that they don't approve foreigners to set up businesses here, have access to the readily available credit terms that you can find in Hong Kong, and basically, you know, spend your way to disaster, leaving a trail of Hong Kong creditors in your wake. So even though you may have the, you may be made of the right entrepreneurial stuff to crack on with it with very little capital, using all your acumen and natural skills, the Immigration Department don't actually place a great deal of credence on that. You still have to have a body of cash behind you to support yourself while you're doing this.
Got it. It kind of gives me a follow-up question. So if I, after an investment visa was issued, do I have more advantages now as a business owner?
Well, once you get an investment visa, the Immigration Department will approve you initially for 12 months to undertake the work that you're planning to do to promote that business as reflected in your business planning that you've told the Immigration Department is going to be why you're going to be spending your time in the context of that company and that company alone. So you get an approval, but it's just to do that business, nothing else. Now, if opportunistically things develop that perhaps you need to pivot halfway through and go off and do something else because the first activity is not working, that's okay, bearing in mind that at some point you're going to have to report that to the Immigration Department. Now, you won't have to report it at the point where you've pivoted, but if, as they usually do with these types of startup scenarios, they grant you an approval subject to business review at the end of the first 12 months. So at the end of the first 12 months, the Immigration Department are going to lift up the hood on everything you've been doing in the business. So if you've pivoted in the meantime, you have to explain to them how you've pivoted. More importantly, they're looking to see that throughout the last 12 months, you have in fact been engaging in activities that they can objectively conclude will lead to you being able to make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong. So you get the approval, sort of pro forma, saying, okay, we like your story, we believe you. Sit at 12 months mark, 80% of new business situations that aren't very well capitalized tend to get approved subject to business review at 12 months when lift up the hood. If they don't subject you to business review, if they like it, and that means that they've really liked your story from the get-go, then you'll get what I call a free and clear approval, which means that at the 12-month mark, the process to get your first extension is really just an administrative exercise, and you can expect that you'll then go on to get 2-year limits of stay, and then you go into what's known as a 1-2-2-3-year pattern, which gives you potentially a full 8 years in Hong Kong to manage and direct and control that business. And at the 7th year, what most people do, if they've been continuously an early resident here, they will go on to make an application for permanent residency. And that then absolves them of the responsibility to have to keep working in that business, because as a permanent resident, you're a free agent, you can be lawfully employable, and you can engage in any business without any further reference to the Immigration Department.
Got it. Wow, that's a lot of information. So I always try to recap. So after you get investment visa, even if you pass, another 12 months later, you're going to have to probably go back.
There's an 80% chance that will subject your initial approval to business review. Yeah.
Okay. And then if you pass that, usually you have...
You're into the 2-year.
2 years.
And but if you've marginally you know, scraped through that first 12 months, then you'd expect at business review, if you haven't created local jobs, if you don't have much cash in the tank, if you haven't been able to meet your revenue projections, whatever it is that's, you know, was deemed to be a reasonable milestone for the first 12 months, if you haven't achieved those, you may find that the Immigration Department will extend you, but they won't give you 2 years, they'll maybe give you 12, they'll give you 12 months instead, and then subject you to a business review again at the end of the first 12 months. But if you've got a good story, and particularly if it's in the tech space, and you've got a half decent wedge of cash, there's no reason to expect the Immigration Department will say no, in my experience.
Great. Okay, and then I guess lastly, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of listeners that want to contact you. We'll put your website up on the website too, but what's your...
Well, we have a number of websites. We have a website which is called the HongKongVisaHandbook.com, and that's basically our foundation content. It's the DIY definitive guide to the Hong Kong visa process. It's an all singing, all dancing, completely free of charge, no registration required. Textbook, if you will, although it's got videos, screencasts, podcasts, templates, the whole shooting match, all completely free of charge, HongKongVisaHandbook.com. Then I do, I've got a daily immigration content update site, a blog called HongKongVisaGeezer.com, and I posted that 4 or 5, actually, well, 6 or 7 times a week these days, because it's really quite busy. So that gives you a source of updated information, all completely free of charge.
Great. Yeah, that's really great. And we'll link that on globalfromasia.com/episode4 for the listeners.
I have I'm going to be in Shenzhen a week on Friday. You might want to put this in your show notes. At the Boathouse, I think it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and
we're
going to
do a talk. Not Friday, Thursday it is.
Okay.
At the Boathouse, yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps if you put the link in your show notes, people can come along and listen to me. Talk about my favorite subject live.
Okay.
Time, if you will.
Yeah, you're very passionate, and you're also a good internet marketer with your blogs and your content and your handbooks. So you're also know a lot of listeners are internet marketers too. So we like that you're also up in the game.
Our marketing was built in by design. The entire product was driven from the marketing perspective first.
Great. Yeah, that's definitely the right way to do it. So, all right. I guess if there's any last points, we're at the end.
I want to just to basically encourage anyone that is thinking about Hong Kong to understand that Hong Kong is very open, the receptive, and the welcoming. What might have been your early experience with an immigration agency, if you've been in, say, Thailand or China, don't expect that you're going to have that kind of experience in Hong Kong. We have a very rule of law and corruptible public service in the immigration department. They've got a customer service mandate. They're very open, accessible, and friendly. But there's a lot of stuff that you can't have access to because the immigration department play the role of gamekeeper and poacher at the same time with their website. Their website is designed to inform and not give advice. And because the immigration department's job is to inform and decide not to advise. So a lot of people look at the Hong Kong Immigration Department website, they look at the investment visa category, and they say, oh, I see, I just have to put these documents in and fill in these forms, and I'm home and host. It doesn't work like that. There's a 4 to a 6 month interrogative process where you have to show that you can make that substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong. And if you can do it, and you're clean and honest and open, you've got the money, and you've got the wherewithal, and you've made of the right entrepreneurial stuff, you know, there's a 95% chance that you'll get what you're looking for. That's how it works here.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much. I'm sure everybody here enjoyed your talk a lot. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Okay. To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.